Just a few moments ago, our congregation read responsively from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. So if you'd be so kind to join me by turning to Proverbs chapter 4, let us consider once again a father speaking now not only to his son, his well-beloved son, who in all probability was Rehoboam, who would eventually take the throne upon Solomon's passing. But notice here, verse 1, hear. The Bible has a lot to say about hearing. Matter of fact, on two separate occasions, and this is recorded in two separate Gospels, Jesus told us to be very careful what we hear. Okay? We have to be very careful what we hear, what we are listening to, especially when it deals with divine truth. When it comes to knowing who God is, who Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is, their economy within the Godhead, how it relates to our salvation, how each member of the Godhead plays a key role in our salvation experience, understanding salvation, what it is, how it's acquired, understanding the scriptures from Genesis all the way through Revelation, things of that nature. Jesus told us, be careful what you hear. But then in another occasion, in a separate gospel, he tells us to be careful how we hear. And when it comes to going to church, it's imperative that we are disciplined in following along in a sermon or in a lesson, that we give our full attention to what is being said. Because, beloved, you want to make sure that you're not being given lies or deception. It's up to you to discern that the words that come from any pulpit or from any podium or from any social media outlet, whatever those words that you're hearing, you have to be able to discern whether you're being given truth or whether you're given spin. And so notice here starts right off the bat a call to hear. Ye children. And so it seems as though Solomon now has thrown his net in a much wider audience. Because up until chapter 3, he's referring, my son, my son, my son. So now it would seem that Solomon is looking at probably his entire household of children, fathered by many wives. What does he tell them? Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. And when you come to Hebrew parallelism, where in one verse you're going to find words that complement or define or in opposition to one another, and here it would seem in this Hebrew parallelism, the word instruction is tied in with the word understanding. They are both yoked together. All right? When you're given any form of instruction, the aim of that instruction is to cause you to understand something. It may be a given subject, or it may be a given procedure, whatever you're being instructed, whatever you're being taught. There has to be a level of understanding to the teaching, which basically tells us that there's hearing in process, that you are actually getting the lesson, you understand the lesson, and you can put whatever you're hearing into practice. For I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law. So once again, when it comes to discernment, when it comes to hear not only what you're hearing, but how you hear, how do you distinguish between good doctrine and bad doctrine? Many in the professing churches of America today lack that discipline of spiritual discernment. Whatever comes down the highway has to be the truth. Just because somebody is famous and just because somebody has an international popularity or an international scope of ministry, that in and of itself doesn't guarantee you that that person's giving you good doctrine. You have to be able to know what good doctrine is before you can scrutinize anybody else's doctrine. You have to know what the truth is in order to identify the error that may be being given to you. Forsake not my law. And then notice his appeal. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Well, this sure sounds like Solomon to me, because we know that Bathsheba loved her son Solomon, knowing that the first child that was conceived by her and David died in God's judgment, did he not? And then Solomon comes on the scene. So this, I believe, is the internal evidence that at this point in the Proverbs, this is Solomon writing under divine inspiration. But he appeals to his children. I was once my father's son. I sat under his wisdom. I sat under his instruction. And I gained some understanding in years later. I want you to do the same thing for me. I want you to give me your heart. I want you to give me your mind. He taught me also, verse 4, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Now, who doesn't want to live? Who doesn't want to have a very enjoyable, Christ-centered, God-centered, Bible-blessed, Bible-prospered life? And I'm not talking about money in the wallet or money in the bank or driving a Rolls Royce or flying a corporate jet. I'm not talking about that. Spiritual prosperity. And by that, I mean you know who the true and living God is. He's more than just a name on a piece of paper. Okay? You know who Jesus is. More than just some fictitious painting on the wall or some stained glass image of him in some church window. Knowing who Christ is, going beyond his name, and knowing who he is and what he accomplished. And then notice how he makes these heart-wrenching appeals. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Notice the passion that's here. Notice the energy that's coming out of his heart, out of his mind and heart to his children. He's pleading with them not to be the typical person who runs the streets, who runs with the crowd, who throws his or her hat into a gang of people who only look for mischief and do it in the halls of darkness. And then he stops in verse 7. He tells his children, wisdom is the principal thing, foremost. What do we learn in Proverbs chapter 1? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Okay? So wisdom is the first thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Now notice verse 7 and go back to verse 1. Notice, wisdom and understanding are put together just like instruction and understanding is put together in verse 1. Notice, exalt her, she shall promote thee, she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Notice the image of a hug. When you embrace somebody, a spouse or a child or a dear friend, when you're embracing someone, that means a whole lot. That means that there's a connection between you and the other person whom you're embracing. There's love, there's affection, right? There's relationship, there's identity there. Well, we're told in a figure of speech to take wisdom, which is the principal thing, and in a sense, embrace her like you would embrace a spouse or a child or a dear friend. Embrace her. So that's an act of the will. That's an emotion of one's affections. You have to love knowledge. You have to love the scriptures. You have to love God. Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and spirit, every fiber of your being. And when you do that, then you can embrace wisdom. And then notice verse 9, she shall give thy head and she shall give to thy hand an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. You see a lot of ancient pictures and carvings and paintings of those who lived in the ancient days, especially the kings and the queens and those who surrounded the king in his courtroom. Do you notice all the garb they used to wear? Chains around their necks that would identify their office or their position within the king's court. And then you see the different crowns and the different tiaras and the different mitres that the ancient kings and queens of a bygone era would wear. And it brought beauty, did it not, to the individual? It accentuated their kingly or their queenly position. And so here Solomon is saying, if you embrace wisdom, if you seek her, if you hunt for her like hid treasure, going back to Jesus' parables, you find that great pearl of great price, right? You move heaven and earth to embrace it, to find it, to seek it, and to own it. Well, it's going to make you look like one of these ancient people in their regalia, gorgeous and beautiful, okay? I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. So here the Father is saying, look, I've done all this for you. Now what are you going to do with it? When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. So verses 11, this father is reaching out to him like most parents and say, well, did I not teach you this? Did I not tell you about this? Did I not warn you about this? How often do parents say phrases or words to that effect to a child who may have done something that they should not? Have I not told you? Have I not warned you? Must I repeat myself again? Here, the father says, I've taught thee. I've led thee. Now do something with it other than just simply toss it away. And then finally, verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. And so in verse 13, it would seem that instruction is connected to life. Wisdom and understanding, and here you find what? You find instruction, if taken to heart, if embraced, if put into practice, if it's not simply taken and thrown over one's backside, it's your life. Now we're going, this is not talking about salvation directly, but it's talking about your steps, your life, the conversation, your well-being, the pathway to your steps. It's going to be life and not misery and death. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.